today, and I'm not, trust me, I'm not checking my text. I was looking for something. You could rebuke me if I ever do that. That's all right. It'll pass. So anyway, I want to talk about prayer, its depths, its purpose, its possibilities. I don't have to ask, are we maximizing? Do we have prayer lives that are maximized? I don't. Because we don't. I don't have to say, I wonder, it's so good we've understand prayer to its greatest depths and we just keep praying. I think there's something, and I pray that today, and we're going to just pray even online right now together, and just let's ask God, let's invite him to open our eyes, to open our spirits, to give us worthy ears. And when I say worthy ears, God wants to change your view. He wants to give you an ear that can hear. Because we all know that we hear everything unless you're deaf today, but none of us are. But hearing and hearing are two different things. I can tell you that right now. We often judge things that are spoken strictly on how it either appeals, how relative we think it is. We never say, God, give me worthy ears. I've been in places in my life and there was tons of God was speaking through people and I didn't have ears to hear. It didn't matter. It didn't raise my pulse one iota. It didn't change my life. And only later you come to grips and say, my God, God was speaking directly to me. And I heard what was said, but it certainly didn't register in my spirit. I didn't get a thing out of it. We don't challenge us enough. We go right to, I hope this sermon's good. I hope this is interesting. I hope it's relative. I hope there's power on it. We never consider if we have ears that are worthy of hearing. We never consider, are there things that are blocking my ears? Is it religious pride? Whatever. This isn't just a people thing. It's a preacher. It's an every believer. But God has had me more and more into thinking about worthy ears and also worthy speaking. But let's pray. Father, we pray, open our ears, open our minds, open our eyes. Let us see. I'm talking of our spirit. Let us hear your voice, the voice within the voice. Bring us to that place. I would pray in the name of Jesus. Your anointing, Holy Spirit, your anointing be upon us this morning again so that we can hear. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It is my hope today that you can gain insight to absolutely what prayer actually does, what it's actually for. Also, that you can know, is there such a thing when you pray prayers that the way you are, they are void. They don't mean anything. Really, they don't mean much. They're void. They don't have a spiritual value to them. Listen, we live in a country where we judge people on how they say something, not the substance of what they say. And not the sincerity of what they say. So like I said, I have a hard time finding a believer, including myself, that can't pray even, I would say, biblically. But who's weighing sincerity and who's even weighing the other things? So I know that when I used to read 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and it says, pray without ceasing. And when I was a younger man, that meant a few things, and I thought it, but obviously, it's a prayerful lifestyle, and a prayerful lifestyle doesn't start with that I'm verbally praying without ceasing. Praying without ceasing, it really is, it's about a life dependent upon God, a life that trusts God's judgment in all situations, a life that wants God's will, and a life that the heart is humble. Not foxhole prayers, not that it doesn't, you know, because I've noticed even in myself, there are times when you hit rough patches and there's trials and you're literally, then you're going, hey, I really need some prayer. Really? So you really didn't need prayer until the challenge came up? That is a revealing statement that we need to wrestle with today. I've made it, you've made it, we've all made it, but that actually reveals something about our state of spirit. Oh, I really need prayer. Something bad's going on. Think about this for a minute. You desperately needed prayer the minute you opened your eyes and said good morning. You desperately needed prayer as desperately whether your life was going good according to your standards or whether it wasn't. That didn't matter. It's how we pray in the fair weather that really says what we're about. It is not foxhole prayers. Now, I am not downing if you're in a disaster that you cry out to God. That's a good thing. But to have the pray without ceasing is a lifestyle thing, and it's a state of spirit. I remember people reading this, and they're trying to perceive, you know, how can I pray 24/7? I got to go to the work. And they were really missing the point. If I'm God-dependent in a real way, and I know that every breath I take is God's, and I know that I need his direction, it creates an automatic prayerful life that doesn't cease. See, we've got God put into, you know, help my disasters, and oh, give me that thing that I asked for because I really want it. We've reduced God to about a 6% window of 100% of what prayer is about. And for it, there is a lot of people, prayers aren't getting answered. There is a lot of people that are even mad at God because they actually asked him for something. And their perception, they're mad because he hasn't answered. And that is just, it's ridiculous. You really believe God can take care of you? Do you really believe when you pray, God hears you? Do you really believe when you pray according to his will that it will be done? Do you really believe if two or more touch the things that God wants, he will do? Do you really believe that? And here's the thing. There's challenges that are going to hit you with that. Your life day to day pours forth speech. Your life is going to actually say a lot about what you believe in the area of prayer. I've been to churches to preach where they have hundreds of members. And you go on a prayer night and there's 10, 12 people sitting in the room. Listen, I'm not into indicting anybody, and that's not what this is about. But I got to tell you something. Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer. That's what it's supposed to be called. Well, it can only be called that if that's when you look at it, what it does. I could put, you know, New Life, house of prayer. It sounds good. Are we a radically praying people? Most importantly, is the house of prayer is because it's people of prayer. And this is what God's called us to be. But I look at the praying without ceasing, and it's all about trust, dependency. It's about lordship. Is Jesus Lord of all, or is he not Lord at all? There are so many times we are believers, and we live a life according to our desire. And it may be moral, and we may fit a biblical framework into a life that is selfish. You can do that. You can throw around verses and pray eloquently and still be a complete narcissist. Everybody's done it a little bit, myself included. But trust and dependency, you got to ask yourself. You know what I mean? And ask yourself this, is I want to have a prayer. I want to be a man that prays without ceasing. And that's just breathing, living 24/7, depending on the Father. And knowing that all the things I need come from the Father. And all the things I don't need, he doesn't bring. If you can nail this down, two things are going to happen. It's going to challenge you as to what you're living for. It's going to challenge you as to what your real desires are. And it's going to challenge you whether God's silence is sufficient for you or if you need to convince God of the worthiness. You really need this thing, God. And I don't know if you're listening, and you probably aren't, because I've been asking you for this thing for 20 years. Well, I think that's a startling statement. And I tell you what, it makes a big statement. Do you not think you know what God knows you, what he knows you need? So the praying without ceasing, that verse is so big, the challenge, but it describes being a believer, a son of God, dependent on the Father, doing nothing that I can't do what the Father's not doing. And it part of it also depends that God deals with your soul, your core being, who you really are inside. God deals on this level. He does not deal on the shallow level. He does not. God knows who you are, and he knows what you need to be. So as he's dealing with you, but your prayer life is going to take you somewhere. I pray I get that across today. Your prayer life, if you think it's simply about asking something from God, you're not only wrong, you're missing a lot. Your prayer life is a lot deeper than that. And if it's been reduced to that, I pray God gives you a real prayer life back. And I've got to be honest with you, when I'm praying, if it's not the will of God, I can fast for a year. Won't matter. If it's not God's will and I'm praying it, it's not happening. You know, a lack of response in prayer from God is either a no or a not now. Can you deal with that? No or not now? The kid in us rises because sometimes we have an aversion. I have an allergy to the word no. All of us do sometimes. But number one, I want to be a person that has a prayer life that doesn't cease, because my daily dependency never stops on God, and I need him. I don't use my own strength, and then when I'm out of my own strength attempts, then I ask God, because that's a pride, that's self-control, and letting go is real critical. I remember asking the Lord about multiple things, and they were ministry things I was asking him, so they're good, right? Because they're about the ministry, and the ministry is for God. And that was actually kind of a ridiculous assumption. I said, Lord, I've asked this, and I've asked that, and you know, and these are really good prayer requests. You don't do anything with it. I'll never forget, it's like a voice in my head, the Lord said, if you'd actually pray something I desired, I'd actually answer the prayer, and I would fulfill it. That wasn't like a deep revelation. But, you know, it's not the Lord throwing back in my face my error, but he's kind of saying, Mike, you're still wrestling whether you got an answer to something you ask, and you're not wrestling with what is my will. And we'll get into this in a second, but again, I want to say this too. Is prayer a duty or a privilege? Seriously. If you view prayer as a duty, there's not a lot you're going to get out of it. We have, listen, between our hyperactivity, our ADD culture, between that and the way we are impatient, we are impulsive many times, and we want microwave answers. You know, what normally takes an hour in our little microwave mind should only take 5 minutes. And part of the problem is many times prayer is relegated to the trash heap because we can't quiet our spirits so to even know we're in God's presence. We can't quiet our spirits to really connect with God. We're shooting stuff out. But it's religious. Many times it's very empty. It's very fruitless. Listen, I have seen prayer as a duty and not as a privilege many times. But I have also seen prayer as a privilege where I couldn't wait to talk with the Father. And I couldn't wait to be with Jesus. I didn't say it. We're good at saying, Lord, I remember praying with a person there all the time. They're going, have your way, have your way. And their life was an exercise in self-control, pride, paranoia. And yet they always said that when they prayed. Now, I wasn't going to be the Holy Spirit, but sometimes you want to just say, you say that every time, but I know you and you're selfish and you live for yourself. You don't mean that. Quit doing that. If you live, don't have your way, and you pray, do have your way, there's something wrong. You're not sincere. I agree. God wants to have his way in me and you and all of us. But I also agree we've got to come to grips with sometimes the fact that we are not there, and we need to get there. But ask yourselves a question. Do you see it as a duty or a privilege? If you see it as a duty and you get nothing out of it, you haven't actually prayed in a real way, connecting with the Father in a real way. If worship's laborious to you, you've not really worshiped. We need to come to grips. I'm not accusing. That's not what I'm doing. But these are just realities. Millions and hundreds of millions of Christians get nothing out of prayer. They pray foxhole. They don't like to pray. They don't like to worship. They'll even avoid it if they can. And this isn't about condemning us when that's where we're at or what we've become, but it's about simply saying, wait a minute, prayer is a privilege. Coming into your presence is a privilege, yet I see it as laborious and a duty. Worship, I don't get anything out of it. I like music, and I kind of like some songs in worship, but I don't really communicate in worship. These are things that we got to tackle because these are part and parcel to our prayer life. Absolutely. And if we don't answer these properly, we're going to run around with Christian language, and we're going to run around with religious spirit and not getting anything out of it. Now, I've been in both the places I'm talking about with prayer and worship, and also, but I've been in the places of knowing the privilege of both, and I've known the privilege of eager to get in the prayer closet so I could be with Jesus. I remember praying with a friend of mine in ministry, and I had a prayer room. And it was interesting because this room had I don't know what they did, but you could almost like a trampoline. When you walk in, your feet sunk 4 inches in the floor. So it was a comfy place to kneel. And we were praying, me and a friend, and 15 minutes went by, and 20, and an hour, and an hour and a half. And there was a word that I felt like God wanted to give, but he wasn't giving it. So we prayed an hour. We prayed, I think, 2. We prayed 3. And I know, he's a man of prayer too, but we kind of got excessive there. And at the 3.5 hour mark, The Lord spoke to me very clearly and said, when you go home, he's going to drive home 300 miles. When you get off the exit, you're going to pull at the gas station because you're going to need gas. When you pull at the gas station, these two members from your church are going to approach you. And they're going to tell you they're in love and that they plan to be together. And you're going to tell them that a man from Chicago, Illinois said that they've been fornicating and formed a soul tie. And it's not God at all that they're together. Happened at the 3.5 hour mark. 3.5 hours. Well, he took the drive. He pulled into the gas station. And what do you think happened? He got out to gas up and here's this couple. He looks up and they're there. And what do you think they tell him? We're in love. God wants us to get married. And he was, you know, he went, well, there's a prophet in Chicago. He says you guys have been fornicating and lying about it. He says that it's not even God. You guys are together. It's all physical. That's all your relationship amounts to. And the guy was just stunned. But that's exactly what was happening. When I started praying that day, God was going to change me through the prayer because he was going to change my motives, my impatience. Because part of prayer develops us. It's changing us. Did you see? That's why I want to talk today about this, because so many times prayer to us is a request. We believe it's a request, which is true. But we don't understand the spirit of prayer and the waiting in prayer. That wasn't about God saying, I want you to earn these 5 brownie points. And when you do, I'm going to speak to you prophetically. No, that was about God bending Mike. That was about God bending my will. That was about God bending my being. It didn't change God, those 3.5 hours in prayer. It changed Mike. This is a part you've got to get down, because a lot of us, we've narrowed it down to a religious kind of schedule thing, and we do this and we don't understand it. It's a deeper thing we're doing than simply asking God for something and hoping he answers it. But ask yourself this: what do you run to for comfort? What do you run to for satisfaction? What do you run to give you peace? What do you run to give you a sense of internal well-being? A sense of feeling normal? Those questions I ask are critical, because all of us, those answers will be mixed, and some of them will be sorted and some of them will be wrong. They won't be good. Sometimes what we run to for comfort is so the opposite of the presence of God, so the opposite of the will of God. And we have to kind of work these things out, because a lot of these things kind of set us up for our state of being as we bow our knee to pray as Christians. And it's really important, because what do I run for to satisfaction? There are sometimes we run, and nowadays with the busyness of mind, we can barely slow down for an hour. Our brain is going a 280 and we can't even walk. We're running like this amazing thing. Another thing is, understanding coming into the presence of the Lord when you start praying. You know what I'm saying? When you start doing that, your desire to be with him, because now prayer has went from simply being, there's things I need, God, I need to let you know because you told me to pray and I want you to answer these things. It starts, the vision of prayer starts to expand and get wider, and it becomes divine, meaning what God's intended it for. And it's really important, because as you start to understand your God's presence and you start to understand that prayer also is a lot about us and not simply what we ask the Father for, the purpose of prayer, the state of prayer becomes deeper and it starts getting wider, because now you understand you're not trying to convince God of something at all. Now you understand that God is bending you like a reed in the wind as you begin to pray. Or if you're stiff, he wants to break you so you do bend. Now you're getting a hold that prayer is a journey of growth for you. You know, a lot of people said, I've heard people say, you know, it says he knows what we need before we ask. So I heard a person even in ministry go, so I'm not sure why I pray. And I was a lot younger at the time, and I don't know that my answer was sufficient, but the answer really was is because it's not about your needs, and it's not about filling God in to make sure he knows what you want. Prayer is a thing that grows you as a believer. In fact, you're really, and gets you in line with God's will to come on this earth. That's the bottom line. Jesus' name isn't a mojo. It doesn't stamp the credit card and put money in the account. And a lot of times that's what we treat it. We treat it like, guys. Now, Jesus gave a formula, but I'm hoping I can widen your view today of when he gave the formula in Matthew 6, that, because a lot of people, I was a Catholic, so we prayed the Lord's Prayer. I knew the Lord's Prayer by the time I was 7, to be honest with you, because we said it in Mass and we repeated it often. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread. And then we talk about, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive us those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory. I knew that when I was a boy. And I treated it like a formula. Well, it wasn't about a relationship. Prayer wasn't about that. And we said it repetitively. It became a formula. Jesus gives principles in Matthew 6 about prayer. But it is interesting. We like religion and we like formulas. We do. We like mojo and magic spells. So oftentimes when we come to the scripture, now this isn't, I'm not saying you guys have this. I'm glad I don't. No, we all have this tendency to like formulas. But the Word of God is alive, and it's about relationship. And the Word of God is about you being with the Father and the Son. The Word of God is about the presence of God, as Matt brought up Wednesday. It's all about this. So when you're reading the Scripture, like I said, many times the religious vein kicks in, and we immediately make it something, as even as we're reading the Scripture, we make it something that it's not. That's why people will in vain will speak this as a formula. He, again, being a Catholic, Mother Mary, holy, you know, full of grace, the Lord be with you, and the Lord be... I remember all of this as a kid. Now, I got to be honest with you, God first spoke to me when I was 5 years old in the Latin Mass about following Jesus and being an apostle, and this is a real story. So I'm not saying that, you know, it was an evil den. At the same time, I got to be honest with you, any religion that doesn't teach about being born again and knowing Jesus is problematic. I don't care if it has all biblical, supposedly, that, who cares? Understanding the scripture is really the point, isn't it? But we love formulas, and we do. We love mojo, and we love magic. You know, I say these words this way, and like, you know, it's almost like getting God honors the formula. But the deep proofs of prayer, it's meant to come alive. Even the things you ask for are meant to be a part of your life. But Jesus says, when you pray or praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. How many times did you feel a need to repeat something to God again and again? Because the more you said it, the more likely he was to do it. That's actually not scriptural. Another thing is, I often wondered about what it meant to pray, but don't use meaningless repetition. Well, it's really simple. If the things I'm praying don't mean anything to me in a real way, it's meaningless. If the things I'm asking don't mean anything to me and I could sincerely care less, it's meaningless. So here's the other thing. Repetition isn't forbidden. Meaningless repetition is forbidden. The things that you pray, do they mean something? Are they really part and parcel for your desire in your life? I'll never forget Leonard Ravenhill said something that always just grabbed me. He said, He said, if your prayers don't mean anything to you, trust me, they don't mean anything to God. This is critical because, again, when we start to really understand the vein of prayer and how expansive it is, then we start to really go, you know what? Let my words be few. And if we do pray things full of words, we aren't speaking stuff that's meaningless, that doesn't really mean much to us. God wants your prayer life to connect with your life. And God wants your prayer life to have meaning. But that's about it having meaning to you. How much you pray many times on an issue will also say how much you care about an issue. That's why sporadic prayers that are once in a blue moon and only when we're under duress are fairly not really worth a whole lot. They're not sincere. In fact, we wouldn't ask them if our little comfort zones weren't getting interfered with. We wouldn't ask them if we weren't in trouble of some kind. And I want you to go from that mindset to the mindset of meaningful, powerful prayers that God really answers and that shape you and the core of your being. I don't ask God, Lord, take, if there's any spirit of religion in me, take it. We all, in a way, have a religious spirit, and we are all prone to lean to being religious about our faith more than real. That's not a cut down. In fact, we got to know that our old man is a Pharisee royale, and we need to know our comfort zones many times are anything but God's will, because God wants to birth in you a prayer life that gets answered, a prayer life that changes you, not changes God. Think about it. If you want to ask yourself something, how do I know and determine what has meaning, you know, to me? Well, I wrote down, I said, look at your life, and it is very clear to see what actually has meaning by what you invest your time in, what you invest your money in, what you spend most of your time approaching, what you spend most of your time thinking about. We live with tons of meaning, but what has meaning is really the question in my life. And I will say this, though. Loving God and walking with God and Him being the most important thing to you is something that we grow into and shapes us. And we need to know something. We are creatures of habit and repetition. If I am used to all the things that mean real things, you know, if I look at my life and the things that I actually spend the real time on, if there are things that actually even oppose God, they are going to block my spirit from really seeing really what I need and what should have meaning. It's interesting. We live our lives heading to eternity, heading to heaven or hell, heading to see Jesus, literally. And yet we will oftentimes, we allow affections in something to have meaning that is absolutely of this world, that is temporal, that is passing. If the things that have the most meaning to you are in the realm of passing, you will not be very happy most of the time. And your spirit will not be settled. Because I heard a saying once, I don't know, it was by the famous cricketer, you know, only things for all mortal things, these will pass. Only things found in Christ, these will last. Another thing in prayer, that which is the will of God for my life has to have meaning. That which is the will of God for my life has to be the most important thing. Now, this is where interference to fruitful prayer, this is, you're looking right at the crux of it. God, through my prayer, is going to bend me. He's going to bend you. And a lot of what we wrestle with in prayer, it's not asking a bunch because we really want something and we believe it's, you know, we think it's good for us, even though we really haven't consulted the Lord. And a lot of the reason we do this, the thing is, it's interesting because if God's will, He wants to take your prayers and He wants to bend you and He wants to show you His will so you know how to pray. Think about the people we pray for, others, not ourselves. And now ask another question. Is the majority of your prayer, and I want you to be honest, it's not an answer to me, it's rhetorical, you answer it in your own spirit and mind. Is the majority of what you pray about you? And is that when you get the most passionate in your prayers, when you're asking things for yourself? See, the master of prayer himself, the eternal intercessor, Jesus, He prayed and bowed to the Father, for the Father's will was first and foremost to His life. And if you look at the prayers of Jesus, it's always with others in mind and them being right, them finding the Lord, them knowing the will of God. One of the things that is really important is we've got to also say, listen, is the will of God, is that like the most crucial to me? Because that's going to actually saturate my prayer life. If I'm reduced to simply praying for the things that make me sad, the things that I want, the things that make me comfortable, and that's how narrow, and that's when I'm the most impassioned, and my heart rate goes up, there's actually, it's not the way we want to be. It's not going to make our prayer life balance. It's not going to cause us to get a really fruitful prayer life. I'm saying this because these are things I have to ask myself, because I believe there's another level God's wanting to take us to in prayer. I believe God wants to do something really incredible, and we're going to start seeing in these end days prayer people rise, and they're going to have answered prayers. Why? Because they're going to realize the avenue of prayer is actually more important for them than for God, meaning they're talking to the Lord and he's shaping them, and prayer is part of our shaping. And they're starting to get rid of that whole consumer mentality. God's my, you know, God's the big Walmart, and I just got to talk to him the right way so he can get it off the shelf and, you know, do a home delivery because I don't like to drive. And I want you to think about this. Fighting out what the Lord thinks and what he needs and his will is so critical, even when you're praying for another. Now, I'm not saying every time I pray for someone, I know the exact will of God for them. But let me tell you something. I've had moments where I'm praying for someone and I'm seeing it a certain way because I'm looking at what I see. And the Lord comes along and grants insight. And when he gives the insight, I'm missing the point. I'm actually praying things that actually would interfere with the will of God. I would actually, if I had the power, I would remove that thing that God has placed to grow them. Now, that's a powerful thing if you actually get a hold of this. Sometimes we pray for others and we pray based on our own comfort zones, based on what we don't like to deal with, based on what bothers us. And we strictly pray God is the cleaner. He's Acme Cleaners Divine. And he'll just clean it up. They're suffering. God, stop that. Rebuke the devil. And you know, it's interesting. If you look at the apostles, how would you have prayed for the apostles after Jesus rose? You would say, Lord, protect them, because it's important the word gets out. Don't let them be crucified. Don't let their heads be cut off, God. So take care of Paul, because he's here to minister, and him dying would be a bad thing in the end. And you, and Lord, that thorn in Paul's flesh, it hurts him. Please free him from that devil. And that whole thing would completely go against the most important purpose of God in the very founding of the church. And you would be praying in total error. Well, if that's the case, how much of our prayer life, even today, many times sits in total error? And needs to be adapted and needs to be bent and it needs to be changed. We're getting mad at God for not answering certain prayers, and we haven't considered any of this with what I'm saying. We're coming to God going, all right, chop, chop. I'm ready for that thing, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to be very self-righteous. And if you don't bring it, I'm going to get very mad at you, and I'm going to be wondering, do you even love me? This is what we do. We don't say it. We do it. We don't always speak it. We live it. I actually believe God wants to launch you into prayer life that'll be true intercession, and it's going to bend you, and your prayer life's going to start shaping you and transforming you, because it's going to take on the meaning God meant it to have versus the definition that religious people put upon it, short-sighted. Now, I will say this too. It is important to start trying to find out the will of God in prayer. And God wants you to know it, and then he wants you to ask for it, because then you're coming into agreement with God for his will for your life. Like I said, we ask things that we consider biblical, but that's really loaded, because when we do that, oftentimes, that's not what we're doing at all. You assume God wants this because people in the Bible had this. What about if that's not for you right now? What about if that was never for you? And yet we will do that. And like I said, we go from asking to being angry to wondering if God even loves us, because that thing we prayed, we didn't even vet it. You know, you ever hear the word, the vetting process? We never vet our prayers. And therefore, we're so convinced of our own righteousness. We're so convinced of, and how right it is what we're saying. And we put a little charisma on it. I might even speak in tongues a little bit. And there you go. Stamped approval. God's doing it. Now, I will say this, though. There are things in the Word that are crystal clear as to what God wants for you. There are. And I always said, if you can't get the plain and simple things, why would you be asking for the profound things? Absolutely. There are things that aren't in the Bible that I need to know the will of God on. Absolutely. And I believe God will speak to us. But sometimes we're missing the first step, and we're jumping to the third step. I remember when I started preaching, this saying came to me, and I talked about growth a lot when I first started. And I said, it's not A to Z, it's A to B. Because often as believers, we live A to Z, and we just don't even look at any of the letters in between. God speaks of stewardship, trusting you with a little and trusting you in bigger things. In our minds, we start out with starting in Christ, and then we're at the finish line waiting for the deepest revelations, and the nation should be saved. You know what's interesting? When your prayer life's not right, you're not getting bent and shaped, and you're not being broken into the will of God. And your prayer life will be extremely unfruitful because you've got a stiff neck, you've got a hard heart, you're not bendable at all, and you're just shooting stuff out. That's not how it works. Prayer, and I did a quote here, prayer is the occasion wherein to express our desire for God's will. Prayer means that our will is standing on God's side. Aside from this, there is no such thing as real prayer. Do you hear me on this? Prayer is the occasion wherein to express our desire for God's will. Prayer means that our will is standing on God's side. Aside from this, there is no such thing as prayer. Use this as a defining moment in what is real prayer. Everything that a person does when they're talking to God doesn't mean it's real. In fact, sometimes the way we do this, our prayer is void because it's absent of the state of prayer and what God requires in prayer. But this is liberating. This is not depressing today. If you're hearing this and go, I'm really getting bummed out about my prayer life, don't. God wants your prayer life to be more fruitful. He does. He wants you to have an experience in your prayer life. But there is a clutter that needs to be cleaned out. There are misconceptions, things we think are true that are simply not true about prayer. In fact, I think prayer is the most misunderstood. So when I go to a church of 400 and there's 10 people at their prayer night, I'm not all mad and going, what a bunch of horrible members. I realize that there's probably, 480 or 90 people that don't have a clue what prayer really is. If they did, they'd be there. It's not always that they're bad members, but things we don't value, we don't invest in. And things that we don't think are needed, we don't invest in. Let's be honest. When I attended church for 10 years and I'm never at one of their prayer nights, we had the pandemic. I'm not getting into all that, but think about this. Somebody may be calling you to pray and you avoid the phone because they want to pray. Think about all these things. Somebody may want to call you and ask you to pray for them. And many times I found that this is a very lacking thing in the American church. I want to read something else to you. Prayer is not the expressing of our wish for God to yield to our petition and fill up our selfish desire. It is not a forcing of the Lord to change his will and perform what he is unwilling to do. Prayer is simply speaking out the will of God through the mouth of the believer. Before God, the believer asks in prayer for the Lord's will to be done. This is a powerful thing. And in fact, if you really want the secret to prayer, I just read it for you. That is what prayer really is doing. It's about finding the will of God. And when you have found it, you begin to ask. And your spirit bends, your heart bends, your character changes, self is crucified. And Jesus begins to manifest. Jesus lived a life and a prayer life and a life on this earth, not just to pay for our sins, but to show us as sons and daughters of God how to live. Prayer for personal needs should not be touched. It should be touched indirectly by first asking for the Lord's will to be done. Think about this. Prayer for personal needs should be touched indirectly by first asking the Lord's will to be done. It's only then when we see more clearly God's will for our life. And then we will better understand what we need. Think about this. If I come to the Lord and I'm going to pray and I actually don't know God's will for my life or the situation I'm in, how can I pray properly? Think about this. A lot of people go, God doesn't speak to me that way. You've never tried it many times. You made an assumption that it wasn't necessary. Many times when it comes to prayer, we make assumptions that are wrong and they're not necessary. If I don't know the will of God for my brother sitting in this front row here, can I have the most accurate prayers for him? And that's going to be difficult because I don't know what God's doing. I can ask general things, but I really don't know the will of God. How do I accurately pray for him? I'll hit some scriptural things, but we've done this for so long, we don't even listen. This isn't even needed. Let me tell you something. If you don't believe something's really of God and you don't believe it's needed, you're not going to care and you're not going to even attempt it. And if you do attempt it, it'll be insincere because you have your own idea about God's ideas. And the unfortunate thing, again, prayer begins to bend this. It begins to break this. Here's the thing. I was thinking about this week as I was working on this message, and I realized something. No prayer of God is ever answered where there isn't really people directly in the process of seeing his will be done. You go, no, God, the plagues in Egypt, and then the Passover, and he came and slayed the firstborn. Yeah. And he gave specific instructions to Israel of how they wouldn't be slayed, and if only if the blood, didn't matter their origin. The blood had to be on the doorpost for the death angel to pass over. And you know, when the sea parted, Moses stood, held up his staff and said, stand and see the salvation of God. I began to realize that we are the tools of the answer to our prayers. But think about that. Many times we pray this thing that God just move. And we don't realize that ultimately it's going to come down to the people of God agreeing with God and being the instruments that literally makes it happen, that he brings it through. Think about this. Prayer is like the rail for God's work, okay? I mean, I want you to view it. Prayer is like the rail for God's will to be done, like a train track is for a train to stay on track. So we need to come to a place where we got to understand that I never look in the scripture and find that the people aren't part of they're part of what's going to bring about the will of God. Even when God sovereignly moves, he moves men and women. Think about this for a minute. I mean, if I say, God, please, would you bring revival in the United States? I'm calling myself to walk in revival. Lord, save people. Well, how do you think that happens? Lord, speak to the church. You think a cloud's going to come down and God's going to get over the PA system? He could. But here's the other thing. God wants you to work in cooperation with his will. And he wants you to bend to his will. A lot of your prayer life is about being bent and shaped and cooperating with heaven. See, like I said, we reduce prayer to just simply, I got things I got to ask God, and God, would you please do this? And I really need this. And it's okay. But what part do you play? And is your will soft and bendable to the will of God to do the thing you're even asking? Prayer is about yielding to the will of God. And part of the process of your prayer life isn't just about you asking enough to where he finally does it or you're going to bend his will. You will not bend the will of God. I'm going to tell you this right now. Go ahead, try to talk God into something. And we do this. Sometimes we won't admit it, but we do it. No, it's not about talking God into something. It's about talking you into something. So many times we pray things, even that are good, but we don't understand. God's trying to bend us. We're hard-hearted. We're stiff-necked. We're not ready to do that. That thing we just prayed, we're not in the place to be that the agency of that at all. Now, I don't say this. Again, I would indict myself as much as anybody else, but God wants to turn prayer into a dynamic that is absolutely off the hook. He wants to change your prayer life, and he wants you to understand as you're coming in to pray, there's a work going on in your being that is shifting. You need changing. Prayer changes Mike. Mike's prayer don't change God. Prayer changes Mike. Prayer readies me for to get a hold of the will of God and then to be part of that agency and that avenue. I wrote something down. Prayer is yielding to God's will. And if you come to a fuller revelation of this truth, you realize that the very foundation of prayer and its success depends upon the one who is yielded to the will of God. This is the bottom line. Now you start to go into prayer and say, see, I always thought it was about asking. And yeah, I like to find his will, but we're still praying the things we want. But here's the other thing. If I pray for myself and I don't know more fully the will of God, how am I going to pray properly? Think about this. If I don't know the will of God for my life and I start asking God for things, how do I even know to pray? Do you know how many hours and years I've spent praying for things that bothered me that God would remove them? Do you know how many times I asked God to bring things to my life that would make me more comfortable? Do you understand many of those prayers were completely void because they weren't real prayer at all? They weren't even what God was doing. I was talking to myself. I didn't even realize God had to bend me. I was this man of God. I could pray scripture. I could speak it so eloquently. That didn't matter. God wanted to bend me in prayer. He wanted to show me where I needed to be. He wanted to show me more about my life. He wanted to bend my will to His. You could pray for 40 years, and if you don't understand this, you will be no more yielded to the heart of God than you did at the beginning as you were a Christian. I remember as a young believer, though, I really was into seeing the kingdom exalted and magnified. And even when I prayed, I was willing to be the agency and avenue of the prayer. I remember. And I would go if God told me. But you know, we get older and we get cynical and we gain possessions and things we value more than we value God. And we begin to grip and hold on to things we shouldn't. And then prayer gets tricky because now we have more to lose if we pray the will of God. But that's nonsense. Because the will of God is what I was born for. The will of God is why I was born again. The will of God is He saved me to be a servant of His will. We are afraid of saying, "Your will be done, not mine." Do you realize a lot of times, too, there are things you're praying that will be God in the future, but you take no mind to what it will take for you to even handle the thing you're asking for, and you're just waiting for it to come, and you're not ready for it to come. And sometimes there's a stall on people as they ask God for things. There's a stall, meaning the Lord's not going to break through. You're not ready for it. You can pray it all you want, but you're not allowing the prayer to bend you and make you to the person, into the person that can receive the prayer. So in a way, we begin to pray in vain because what we're asking isn't, we're not there. And we don't think God bends us through prayer. You know, there's times I've tried to talk God into propositions. Absolutely. I fasted for 7 days, locked myself in a church sanctuary, drank water. 7 days, guys. Is there something I wanted? And I wanted a biblical version of it. So, of course, it was God. And the Lord, at the end of the time, came to me and He said, "When have you ever starved yourself for 7 days to accomplish my will?" He said, "If you spent 7 days to really find out what I wanted for your life, you'd be a Billy Graham by now." He said, "But instead, you are asking for self-consumption alone because you said you needed this. And yet you're in that area of your life, you're not yielded to me at all. And you're doing it your way. Your way." You know, that was a bummer after 7 days of starving. I wanted to hear something different. But the Father, being the ultimate giver of life and light and revelation, He loved me as a father, and He said, "Hey, buddy, you're my son, and I saved you from certain death, and you're a miracle, and you're a trophy of grace." That's a word I got when I was 16. And there's the Lord trying to bend me. But I'm young at that point, and I'm headstrong, and I went to some Bible school, so don't tell me how to be spiritual, because I know. Isn't it funny? I could have used the time to pray where God could have bent me. He could have bent my will, and He could have bent my eyes to see how He really sees, and I just wanted something. So I tell you today, this is really critical. Prayer is yielding to God's will, and if you come to a fuller revelation of this truth, you realize that the very foundation of prayer and its success depends upon one who has yielded the will of God. Praying "Thy will be done" for more challenging may be far more challenging than we assume. Now, I used to pray, and I would leave that part out of my prayers because I was convinced if I said, "Your will be done," a cosmic hand would come and slap me across the universe. And then I would be eating rice and beans or kneeling on rice in a hut somewhere, half naked, you know, with jungle heat and dengue fever. And I was, and you know what I really believed? I wanted to be a Christian. I left the rock world. I left, you know, all the stuff behind, but I still wanted to be the Christian on my terms in a lot of ways. I gave up the dope and the women and blah, blah, blah. I still was playing games, and I really wanted my version of Christianity. Now, here I sit today talking about prayer bending your will, talking about the thing that may revolutionize your future, talking about the thing where you're starting to understand. And sometimes, listen, we always great prayer, like, did I feel something? Was there a presence? And we're missing part of the point. Especially if I'm stiff-necked, I'm like, I didn't feel nothing. Well, yeah, but the whole point of the prayer wasn't for you to just feel something. Again, we're very self-consuming when it comes to the things of God, so much so that it interferes all the time. It dogs us. We follow the voice of ourself, and we need the transformation. I've brought many wish list things to God as a Christian. And they were kind of biblical. I mean, think of the things. God, I want to make more money because I want to give more. Well, that's a loaded one. You know, I mean, think about it for a second. That can be so loaded. And it was a wish list, you know. I've seen people say, God, bring me a godly wife. And I've said to people before, but you're not a godly man. Why would God bring you a godly wife? You're not a godly man. In fact, if he brought you a godly wife, she'd get to know you and she would not want to have anything to do with you. It's amazing what we think we're ready for. And God, now here's the good news. God wants to get you ready for these things. Listen, God has a beautiful thing for you. God has propositions. And as you bend to his will, then you start praying like Jesus. Then you start praying like a son of God. Then your agenda starts bending to the agenda of God. And you'll be shocked at how things come through. I spent a lot of years foxhole praying. You know what I mean? Praying the things that I thought were right. Praying only when I was in trouble. Prayed the hardest when I was in the most trouble. What's wrong with this equation? I need you to enjoy the Father. Yeah, if you're in trouble, please bend your knee and pray. But if you won't pray in the good times fervently like you did in the bad, there needs to be a shift in your life. True prayer leads to a denial of self. If you are praying the way the Lord desires, you will find that it leads to self-denial. Did you know that? Because Jesus, in the most powerful prayer, there was a priestly prayer, John 17, but there was the Garden of Gethsemane prayer, remember? He felt the inertia coming where he was going to be cursed, sin on our behalf, even though he was totally flawless. What's he say? If it's possible, take this cup. But not my will, but your will be done. That's the perfect bending of the will. When we pray for the will of God, even when we begin before we know, it will lead to self-denial. That's it. It'll lead to self-denial. Now, you go, well, let's see, I don't like that. Now, I was raised Catholic, so self-denial meant being celibate, you know what I mean, wearing those black things with the collars, and, you know, and that got me. I actually went, I was 12 years old, and I went to Tolentine College, which was for priests. And I was asking, you know, and it's weird how the echoes of God came into my life, where I actually went and talked to a guy that was in training in seminary to be a priest. And he was going over, you know, you got to be called of God. I'm like, yeah, you got to, you know, this and that. And he said, and you got to be celibate. And I just went, what's that mean? And he explained it. And I went, oh, yeah, no, that's not happening. You're going to go, really, you were 12 or 13? Yeah, I was a bad kid. The bottom line is it can lead to self-denial. But with the denial of ourself comes the acceptance of God's will, which is what you were made for. See, in my life, I'm telling you right now, and you could be a minister and be a narcissist, selfish. In my life, in many ways, I had things I wanted a certain way. And I don't care what you told me. I wanted them a certain way. So ultimate self-denial, and I didn't say it, but I always viewed the will of God as this really bad thing. I didn't realize that. To find the will of God and to pray for the will of God and for God to bring his will, I would be the most fulfilled person on the planet. I saw it, and maybe it was my Catholicistic upbringing, you know, probably. And, you know, these people looked grim. I went to parochial school with nuns. I mean, I forgot my lunch one day and they made a bologna sandwich with butter. It was the weirdest thing. And, you know, I was very convinced by the example I had that people devoted to God were bland, monotone, sexless, unhappy. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of, you know, and I was left-handed and back in the day, you know, they'd come up when you're writing and they'd smack your hand with the ruler because you're supposed to use the right hand. Thank God for another nun. She intervened and said, quit smacking this kid's hand. Let him use his left hand. So that was good. because I don't know what would have happened. We're almost done here. But here's what's going on. God wants to bring you and bend your will, and your prayer life is the avenue he does it. And as you're praying, you're changing. If you understand why you're praying, and if you seek out, there's a transformative process that's going on while you're praying. See, when we just believe it's about asking, and a lot of people say, well, yeah, I want the will of God, and they've reduced prayer to simply asking for God for these things, even maybe that he wants, and hopefully God brings them. That's not the fullness of prayer. If you don't realize the work of the Spirit of God while you pray is so massive in our being that when you start understanding it, prayer becomes a higher priority because you understand that you really won't grow in any massive ways with a prayerless life, period. You won't. We can kid ourselves. Many times we do one thing in the Lord that he does call us to so as to avoid doing the other thing that we don't like, and that doesn't work. God doesn't do a compensation package. I can't say, well, God, my mind runs a mile a minute. I can't calm my spirit. I can't pray a lot, so I'll read a lot of Bible. That doesn't work that way. You need to pray when you're supposed to pray and read your Bible when you're supposed to read it, because many Christians, they pray when they should read and read when they should pray. And we need to get a better grip and an understanding. But I want you to start understanding how this merging is happening. And this is even a prophetic word the Lord gave me. God wants his body in America. We're very self-consumed, let's be totally honest. And he wants to take it from self-consumption. And if prayer reeks of it, it's a bad smell in his nostrils. He wants to change us to understanding that as I enter into covenant and I enter into praying and as I want to find the will of God, he's bending Mike. And the ultimate, he bends Mike and Mike goes, if you could take this, but you know what? Not my will, but your will. Now, the incredible thing about Jesus, and there is only one Jesus, but we are sons of God. Jesus, according to his word, could have delivered himself out of the fate that happened at any moment along the way. People go, well, no, they arrested him and put him in a cell. Do you really think that cell could hold him? Are you kidding me? Jesus, as a son of God, said, not as I will. This is horrible, God. If you can take it, the pain is intense. But not as I will, but as you will be done, Father. Think about this, guys, okay? That's it. A broken, humbled son. A broken, humbled daughter. Bent to the will of God. That's the music to the ears of God. That's the prayer that is valid. Now, I want to just put a disclaimer. I do worry sometimes when I preach like this. None of this is meant to discourage you praying, but what it's meant to do is for you to see the greater purpose of prayer and to approach it the way God wants you to see it. So he wants to bend you. He wants to bend me. Man, I've served myself. Haven't we all? Haven't we all? As a Christian, I don't mean as a sinner. As a Christian, I've served myself plenty. But I actually believe the time for childish things is getting behind us. I do believe we're in the end times. And if that was 100 years, that still is the end times. Do you know if Jesus wasn't coming back for 300 years, time is short. That's how I view it. And you should too. We may see it in our lifetime. I don't know. I'm going to see him one way or the other. One more thing. Give us this day our daily bread. This isn't just about simply praying for God to bring food. This is about also understanding that it comes directly from heaven. No reader of this saying of Jesus would have heard it in the day he spoke it without thinking to the manna that rained from heaven. See, we pray for supply, but we get our eyes on the earthly version of it, and we get our eyes on... I remember my brother said something that was so powerful many years ago. I got a check, and I was like, look at this check. He said, do you see the name signed on the check? I said, yeah, I work for the state of Illinois. It's comptroller. He said, that's actually not who gave you the check. I said, what are you talking about? He said, God gave you that check. It came from heaven. He said, and if you forget about whose check the name is on endorsing this check, and you understand where really it comes from, you will give better. You won't be afraid of finances. And you will understand that the real source, God just uses jobs as fronts. See, he could give it directly to you, but it'd get a little weird and it'd probably spook you. So he uses people, again, part of the prayer thing, because that's where it comes from. Last verse, 1 John 5:14. Let's read this, and we're going to dismiss in a second here. And I appreciate your patience. You know, sometimes the Lord, it gets very prophetic when I'm teaching, and when it does seem to take more time. I'm not babbling, and it's not verbosity, and it's not simply extemporaneous or self-inspired. It happens, the Spirit of God begins to move, and it can get a little more layered. John, 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Now, could there be a greater confidence than this promise? Could there be a greater confidence that as we come in this room and we seek out to find the will of God and we begin to pray the will of God together, we have what we've asked? That's powerful prayer. But as we close today, I want us to have a better prayer life, and I want us to get what it means, and I want us to have a prayer life that actually gets answered. And I want to help you avoid some of the bad mistakes that I made, because nobody was speaking this stuff to me. Nobody taught anything like this. I heard word of faith where the reason my prayers weren't answered, I needed faith. Well, I needed prayers to be the will of God, because faith ain't doing nothing. Because if I'm asking God for something he doesn't want in my life, my faith doesn't mean a hill of beans. Faith doesn't move God. We move in faith to trust God for his will. It goes right back to that. But I've had a good friend, and he often says, "Lord, save my soul." And I used to just, I told you this before, and I realized what he was talking about. The old Mike, the proud Mike, the self-dependent Mike, he's still being saved. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not getting into whether you're saved or unsaved. But our being, our core, who we are, it needs to be saved, man. And I realized what he was saying was very accurate. And I say it nowadays, save my soul, God. Sometimes I look at my very being, my very soul, and I see Mike trying to rule and reign. And he can't. Because if he does, it's nothing but trouble. And when he has been allowed to rule and reign, can I tell you something? The result has never been pretty. It's never been. But let's ask God. He wants to take the body. And I believe we're going to come to a place of deeper prayer. We're going to get the will of God. Prayer is going to start bending you like a reed and bending us more. I think anybody in the sanctuary, and I believe everybody listening to me, you've been bent many times. This is a good thing. But God wants to really take your prayer time, and he wants you to know that it's changing you, not him. He's the Father. He's eternally. He is that he is. He changes not. He doesn't need you to talk him into something. Part of the fight is you're struggling to find the will of God so you can pray right. And that's okay. Because it's part of who we are, is it not? I'll always be a trophy of God's grace. It will never be my merit that saved me. And even as a believer, if God judged me always on my merit, I'd be in trouble. But the beauty of it, God's shaping us. So let's bow our heads. And let's ask the Father today. Lord, we close today and we say, give us the prayer life that you desired us to have. Bend us in our prayer life, because I know that many times when I pray, it is about you bending me. And Lord, if we've reduced prayer to simply asking and hoping we get whatever we say, your prayer is deeper. There's a dynamic that we need to have even today. And I know you want to bless us. And as you told me one time, I asked you, why don't you answer more prayers? And you said, if people would actually pray my will, I would. Well, that's a fact. We're catching up. You're not catching up with us. We're catching up with you. And that's okay. Grow us. I pray today, grow us in our spirit. Grow us in our hearts. There are times my prayer life, it bends me and it needs bending. There are times that I come to you in prayer with a lot of my ideas. And what happens is I sit with you. You start to bend my spirit. If it's stiff, you tend to break it and bring about the right state of heart. And it is a beautiful thing. And we know even as we pray, it's by the blood on the mercy seat. We couldn't pray at all. You wouldn't hear anything. I pray for the body of Christ in America to come to a place to find your will and to ask you for the things that you wish to do. You are never short about answering us when we pray your will. And I ask even in the other areas, as we ask things for our life, we got to say, is it your will at this time? Lord, show me. What do you want to bend in me? Because, Lord, there's things I've asked for that you've clearly told me you're not ready for this. And my prayer was then, well, then bend me, break me, God, make me ready. And that's part of what we do, Lord. I come to you in prayer, and a healthy prayer life is a life that's being shaped and molded by the Holy Spirit. We forget about this. So many times, cause prayer lives to bear fruit. Cause us to be the intercessors we're called to be. Cause us to have the life that's dependent upon you, God. Even today, teach us, God. Sometimes I'm praying for something and you're bending me as I'm praying because I'm going to be the avenue. I'm going to be the rails that the train goes on, and I'm going to be part of the solution to what I'm asking. And you're bending me so I can deal with it. Sometimes, Lord, if you just gave us our wish list, it would wreck us. It would destroy us. There are things I've asked for, even ministry things, that if you would have brought them that day, I would have mishandled it. I would have blown it. Help us today, God, because again, that song, bend me, break me, God, shape me, God. Let me be that reed in the wind that bends and take any stiff-heartedness or stiff-necked and make us flexible. Lord, none of us is perfect when we began this journey, and we're still not perfect today, but I pray as we close, you are perfecting. I love that term, you're perfecting us. Because there's a journey to go. Touch us today, God, and help us to understand this better so that we won't be angry, so that we won't go, why aren't you answering this or answering that? Because we start to understand the process in us. Thank you for the little tidbit, because, Lord, we could talk for days on prayer, and all your nuggets would still not be spoken. So bless us as we go. Touch every listener today. I'm lucky to have, and I'm God blessed to have, the family members at New Life, both online and both in this room. I am a fortunate man. I'm grateful for these amazing people. Touch us by your Spirit as we go in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless everyone today.